Ooh. Hello. Thank you, and it's really it's very interesting for me to present to a public that is usually not our audience, because I used to talk a lot for doctors and women's rights organizations. And so I try to adapt it a little bit to the things that might interest you. But first, I am a doctor, and I want you to understand a little bit what I'm talking about. So I'm going to go to some medical background information so that you understand a little bit more the context of what I'm talking about. So this is a map with all the abortion laws around the world. And what you can see is that there's a north-south difference. Hey, it's on the, yeah. So you see the countries in the north, it's legal, that's the green countries, and the countries in the south, it's the orange, and the red countries, there's abortion is illegal. Basically, that means that women that, in some cases, it's allowed to have an abortion when the health of the woman is at risk, but usually in practice that doesn't mean that women don't have access to abortions because doctors don't dare to provide it. And so the countries, these red and the orange countries, are the countries that we are most interested in working in. What you see, it's not only in the south. If we look at Europe, Ireland and Poland and Malta, they also have very restricted abortion laws. In Ireland, actually, abortion is almost totally banned. And so what happens when abortion is illegal, it doesn't mean that abortions don't take place. Actually, it did take place as much or even more as in countries where abortion is legal. But it causes unsafe abortions. And an unsafe abortion is an abortion that is done by women themselves. They jump off stairs, they put knitting needles in their vaginas, or they do massages, or they use poisons and things like that. And that causes a lot of women to die from that. It's a big public health problem. So I just want to touch really shortly on what are the myths and the facts about abortion, because there's a lot of stories out there that are not true. And one of them is that actually abortion is rare. Abortion is one of the most performed medical procedures in the world. And so about 22% of all pregnant women choose to have an abortion, which is 44 million women every year around the world. Then, of course, there's also the spontaneous abortions or the miscarriages, and about 15 to 20% of the pregnancies end in a miscarriage. Now, some of the anti-abortion groups, they claim that abortion hurts women, that it causes breast cancer, or that it causes, they call it a post-abortion stress syndrome, depression, suicide, and things like that. Fortunately, there have been a lot of scientific research done that have shown that this is not the case, that abortion does not cause breast cancer, and it doesn't cause any mental disorder or suicide or depression. And it doesn't cause breast cancer. So some people say, I'm against abortion because of my religion. And this is a quote from one of the official papers from the Vatican, where it says that all direct abortions, even for therapeutic reasons, are condemned. But equally condemned is sterilization, and actually all forms of contraceptives. So a true Catholic person is not allowed to use any contraceptives either. And the reality is that most people, or most women around the world, actually do use contraceptives, no matter what their religion is. I just singled out Catholicism because it's easiest, but you can have the same arguments for Islam, Buddhism, and other religions as well. So some of people say, so why would you need abortions? They're contraceptives. Women should just use contraceptives. Well, people usually do fuck. And sometimes they do use contraceptives. And here you can see an overview of the effectivity. And what you see is when you use, women use the pill for example, a year, 2 in 4 women do get pregnant anyway. So that means if a woman uses the pill for 10 or 15 years, which is quite normal, then she has a very serious normal chance to still get pregnant. And that might be an unwanted pregnancy. So as a result, more than 21 million women in the world have an unsafe abortion. And these cause these dangerous methods with poisons and things, they cause around 47,000 deaths every year. And it's one of the main causes of pregnancy-related deaths in the world. And so our work is to make sure that women have access to medical abortion because it can save their lives. Because in order to take a pill, you don't need a doctor, you just need to know how to take the pill. And I'll just skip this one. So what is a medical abortion? A medical abortion, there's two different ways to do it. It was invented in 1985, and it's on the market in Europe since around 2000. So it's 15 years, it's not so long. And before that time, the only other way to have an abortion was a surgical intervention. And there's two different ways to do an abortion. I won't go into details. But basically what it does, it's causing a miscarriage. It's blocking the hormones that are needed to maintain the pregnancy, and then the womb starts cramping, and it's like having a heavy menstruation. It's like a miscarriage or heavy menstruation. For the man under you, you won't know what that is. But so it also means that because it's so similar to a miscarriage, and because so many women have a miscarriage, it's not possible for a doctor to see the difference, whether women try to induce the abortion themselves or whether it's a spontaneous abortion. And that is something what we tell women in countries where it's illegal, where they could go to jail. For example, in Ireland, a woman can go 14 years to jail for inducing her own abortion, that they don't have to tell anybody that they used the medicines, but that they can say that they had a spontaneous miscarriage. So just in perspective, the risk. Unsafe abortion, 1 in 450 women dies. If you look at the medical abortion, it's less than 1 in half a million. And if you look at, for example, the risk to die from giving birth, it 1 in 20,000 women die while giving birth. So the ironical part is that an early medical abortion is actually safer for a woman than to continue the pregnancy and to give birth. And if you combine that to driving a car is much more dangerous. If you don't believe me, this is a very good publication from the World Health Organization. You can easily find it online, and it can back up all my statements. So now, what do we do? So basically, we started 15 years ago, and the Women on Waves, the idea behind it is that when you have a ship and you go to a country where abortion is illegal, and it's a Dutch ship where Dutch law applies, then you can go to that country and in the international waters, which is 12 miles out of shore, it's the Dutch law that applies on board the ship. That is how international law functions. So that is what we did. We go with a ship to a country, we go in the harbor, we take women on board, we sail to international waters where we give counseling, sex education and things like that. We give the abortion pills to the women in international waters, then we sail back and the women go home. And it's a legal abortion. And we've done several campaigns in Ireland, in Poland, in Portugal, in Spain, in Morocco. Because of that work, a lot of requests came for trainings from women's organizations. We helped local women's groups start safe abortion hotlines, which is just a mobile number that people can call to get information on how they can do an abortion themselves safely. We are doing a lot of work on the internet. And a few weeks ago, we actually did a campaign with a drone where we flew abortion pills from Germany to Poland. Because in Poland, abortion is illegal, and in Germany, abortion is legal. And I'll show more footage. So just to elaborate a little bit on, I think, what was one of our most successful campaigns. That was the campaign where we went with the boat to Portugal. That was in 2004. And what happened is when the ship was on its way, the Minister of Defense said that we were in threat to national security, and he sent two warships to prevent the ship from sailing in. And you can see the warships on the picture here. And so the ship was never actually able to sail into Portugal. So what we did is we sailed out with little boats to the boat, and we had a court case, and we tried to fight this blockage of the Minister of Defense, but the court didn't grant us permission to enter with the boat. However, what happened is that it caused so much outcry, there was such a public debate, that for 2 weeks it was the main discussion in the media, in the parliament. The prime minister had to intervene, the Dutch minister of foreign affairs had to intervene. There was a discussion in the European Parliament, and there was a huge change in public opinion. So about 64% of the people supported this campaign with the ship. And as a result of what happened, Well, one of the things that led to the fall of the government, so the Portuguese government fell 2 months later, and there were new elections. And the Socialist Party that supported the legalization of abortion, they won the elections with overwhelming majority, and abortion was legalized in Portugal 2 years later. So abortion is now legal in Portugal. So, okay. We, of course, went to the European Court of Human Rights because we still wanted to get our rights, and we won the case against Portugal that they violated our right to freedom of expression. So the last campaign with the ship was in Morocco in 2012, and I realized that is not a country, when we were there, we realized it's not a rule of law. And so when the ship was in the harbor, we had already sailed the ship in the harbor before we announced it would be there, because we wanted to prevent that the harbor would be blocked like in Portugal. And the moment that we raised the flags, like Trojan horses, the Navy escorted the ship out to Spain. So we were not able to stay there. We did not get a court case, we didn't get an official warning, a paper, we were just towed out of the harbor. So we realized, even though that campaign was successful because, you know, it was on Al Jazeera and all the Arab media, and we have been able to reach out to a lot of women in the Middle East as a result of that, but we realized that, you know, we need some kind of rule of law situation in order to be effective with this kind of work. The work after that was very much about training local women's organizations, doing direct action. This is the launch of a safe abortion hotline in Ecuador, where we hang a banner on the statue of, it's called the Virgin of Quito. So now these groups are giving information about how women can do an abortion themselves, because some of the pills are available in the pharmacies there. A lot of people don't know it, but there's one medicine that is called Cytotec or Misoprostol, that women can actually use themselves to do an abortion. And that medicine has been registered in almost all the countries around the world. Women need 12 pills, 4 tablets under the tongue, 3 hours later, again, 4 tablets, and 3 hours later, again, 4 tablets. And I think everybody should know that regimen by head. So wherever you go, you know what you have to do when you have an accident. And so this was a way to make sure that women know how to properly use the medication. This was the Safe Abortion Hotline launched in Chile. The way that this information was spread by posting little posters over big billboards, we did community trainings, by stamping money, like old activist tactics. Of course, you can also use the new tactics, which RTF scans, which also here, when you scan it, you get the whole instruction on how you have to do the abortion yourself. So you can get these t-shirts if you want to. Well, as a result of our work, we started getting a lot of emails from women all over the world. And we decided that at least what we should do is to publish on our website the information about how women can do an abortion themselves with the medicines that are available in some of the countries. For example, in Morocco and in Portugal, this medicine was also available about over the counter, but most women didn't know about it. So in Morocco, women can have safely abortion for $10, but it's a very good guarded secret by the medical community, and so we're trying to break that censorship. In some countries it's impossible to get that medicine. For example, in Brazil, they totally banned the sales when they found out women are using it for abortions. And that is happening more and more over the world. So in 2005, we started Women on Web. And Women on Web is an online help service. So women can do an online consultation, and the medical abortions, the consultations are reviewed by a doctor, a prescription is issued, and the medical abortions are sent by mail to their home addresses. And it has already had all its legal challenges, and we won everything, so it's now sanct and clear that what we do is legal. And at this moment, it enters about 10,000 emails per month from women all over the world in 12 different languages. And not all the women want to have the medicine. Some of the women just want to have information, or they have other concerns. So it's the emails are really about everything that they want to ask about their health. When we started Women on Web, this is in 2008, it was after our first scientific publication. Of course, I mean, it was a very extreme project to do that. How can you trust women to do abortions themselves? And one of the Daily Telegraph, of course, said, oh, women are risking their health by using websites. Of course, this kind of media helps, because then women know, hey, shit, there is this website, and I need an abortion, so I can go there. So there's no bad media, as we say, except for your own obituary. But now, 10 years later, in 2014, this was a cover story on the New York Times magazine. And it was extremely supportive. And so what we've seen in these 10 years that we've been doing this work, that there has been an enormous shift in kind of acceptance of this service, where it was very radical, you know, even very much criticized by our own colleagues, to a very mainstream, almost, service. And there's now a lot of other websites popping up and doing the same thing. This is a testimony of one of the girls, and I like it really, because she's from Morocco, and we help women for free as well. We say an abortion is a medical urgency. You cannot not help somebody because they don't have money. And although we ask for a donation, because it's a non-profit service, the donation is between 70 and 90 euros, but a lot of women cannot afford it. And the other problem is, a lot of women don't have credit card, they don't have bank accounts, they don't have any means to give the money anyway. So this girl was helped for free, and then she says, you know, I was even helped for free, you know, who does something like that? And we help about 20% of the women for free. So also for women, it's very acceptable. It's like they can do it in their own homes with their own support system. It's not as difficult as they think it would be. It's a life-saving, like a Muslim girl that had, you know, would have been killed if she wouldn't have had abortion. She could have had it in a very private matter. And so we have a lot of these testimonies on the website as well, because we think, we ask women to post their stories, because we think it's a way to break the taboo and also to generate support for other women that are in the same situation, that if they read the experiences of other women, that it's easier for them to do it. Now, okay, we also use apps. The one app where you see, that's actually the Vatican, and we used virtual reality, Juneo. So we had an app made where we hang banners, abortion pills, a gift from God, over all the cathedrals in the world. But, you know, for the mainstream people, they really don't understand this, because it's a little bit far-fetched, but I really loved it, because I thought it was very subversive to have, you know, walking in the Vatican and looking through your iPad and seeing then suddenly this banner, abortion pills, a gift from God. The other app that we made is a Safe Abortion Pill app. And it's giving information per country. So you can select country, you can select language, and you get what clinics are available, what are the laws, how can you get the pills, what are the names of the pills, and how to get them. And it's available on the Google Apps Play Store. iTunes has, of course, refused it. So now the last campaign that we did was with a drone. So what we basically try to do is we try to also explore all the kind of undetermined legal spaces. The idea here is, because abortion is illegal in Poland, but the drone is not, but women are taking the pills off the drone, so they do the abortion themselves, and women are not illegal in Poland, so they couldn't be prosecuted. And so then who is providing the abortion? That is a kind of a very difficult legal question. But we don't know. There is now a complaint from the German side. So we'll see if our legal reasoning will hold. So the drone took off from Frankfurt an Oder. It flew over the river to deliver the pills in Poland. Two women in Poland took the medicines and they saw the pills. But what happened in the meantime, so this is a little movie from Rupli. Let me see, I don't know, is there sound? Yeah. This is only the PPI 3, so it was the newest.
Hallo.
De politie doet het moeilijk hier.
Wat is het probleem?
We zijn
strafnaam
begaan.
Nee, we zijn vast niet. Ik zeg het nog
eenmaal, dan heb je het. Sorry. So you see he's running away for the police and he's landing the drone while running away. I thought he was the best drone flyer ever.
Was habe ich falsch gemacht?
Yeah, because I'm crossing a border and that's illegal, they say. Even that is Schengen. And even I'm not getting paid for flying pills to the other side. We do this all as volunteers. So in my eyes, we looked at the legal purpose. It was allowed. Well, they say it's not allowed. Well, that we have to find out now who is right.
So my son was devastated because it was his iPad. Anyway, and it was interesting. It was really for us kind of a really short, small kind of intervention, but it went totally viral. And what I liked about it is that it was, it reached out to a public that normally doesn't do anything on abortion. Like it was in all these technical magazines for all these techie people. And so it was really able to reach out to a totally different community. So we're going to we're planning some other drone campaigns. We think in Ireland, Uruguay, Brazil, so everywhere where this kind of legal differentiation between the different countries. And so we'll do some more of that to see what happens. thanks. So now, okay, what are the challenges? Of course, no, the regular censorship. Website being blocked. This is in Iran. I don't know if it's really like that, but there's one website where you can look at whether your website was blocked. Google Ads, they refuse to have ads that are related to abortion services. Why does that matter? Because what our real interest is that women find us. That if they need help, if they need an abortion, wherever they are in the world, that they are able to find the website so that they can have access to any kind of help that they need, whether it's local available medicines, whether it's a local clinic, whether it's pills through the website, whatever. And so, for example, this is the Polish Google. If you Google abortia, which is abortion in Poland, then you find Women on Waves on the second page. And so that is why it matters. It's the internet matters so much. What you see here is I show you the Google, the visits of the website over the last 2 years. The peak that you see in 2012 is after the Morocco campaign with the ship, the number of visitors to the website. But you see that after that it became so high so that we couldn't even see the effect of the drone campaign anymore in the amount of visitors of the website because we have almost 1 million visitors now. Per month, yeah, now. Facebook, they removed this sticker. It was a form of censorship. It was, of course, a complaint from somebody. Facebook does that all the time. But why does it matter? These messages we get all the time. Women are finding us through Facebook because that is what they use. I was in Kenya. You have the most shitty mobile phone. What's on there? It's Facebook. Nobody has an email. Everybody has a Facebook account. So this girl also writes us, I don't have an email. But, you know, how can I find you? What do you do? So people are using now Facebook as a search engine. They're using YouTube as a search engine. So these are very important developments. So iTunes, they refused, of course, the app. We're still fighting it because one of the documentaries that was made about our work, it is actually available through iTunes. They sell it, and it's exactly the same information which is in there. PayPal. Block the donations. One of the things is really difficult is when you do things that are on the verge of legality in different countries, payment systems get blocked all the time. So how do you receive the money? But again, the mobile payments in Kenya, you have M-Pesa, which is you pay with mobile phones. It's getting really important in these countries. And so it's not anymore these kind of internet payments, but the control in order to be able to get access to an account like that, it's huge. So I think a lot of the censorship will actually take place in this domain of, you know, making things unsustainable, financially unsustainable, by not allowing certain payment systems. So we need a distributed web. I was very happy with that talk. But we need a good search engine with that as well. So that's one of the other. So another problem is court cases. There's now a court case against a woman in Belfast who ordered the medicines for her daughter through the website, and she is now facing criminal prosecution. There has been a woman in the United States who got the medicines over the internet, who faced 20 years of imprisonment. And of course, we always, everything we do is always kind of, or we have a complaint, or we have a court case, that's part of our life. So we'll see how that works out. So wait, so when you're not yet finished with me, there's just this short, if you want to see more of me, there's a short documentary, clip of a documentary that was released last year. And so it is 1 hour documentary about our work. And if you want to know more about it, then you can go there. But I'll just show the clip. And I'm always very embarrassed because you see me too much. But and it doesn't work. So that's a sign. Oh no, there it is. Started when I was working as a ship's doctor in countries where abortion was illegal. I'd seen a lot of women brought in because of illegal abortions. I could not observe that and just let it happen. So we built a mobile clinic so we could sail to international waters and legally help the women with a safe abortion.
To the harbor.
We are here in solidarity with women who have been denied their human rights.
Women have really a basic human right to be able to decide what is happening with their own bodies. The ship is a symbol of freedom, has always been.
It's so clear if you speak to women what is really at stake and what's happening and why.
Sometimes what happens is that after the documentary, one of the Irish groups, they hang a banner on the Cathedral of Galway, and I thought that was really cool. So it inspires people, and that's what it's supposed to do. Okay, any questions? Oh! Yeah. Yeah. Okay, okay.
So, as she said, are there any questions? Please go to the microphones.
Hi, I'm Alice. I have a simple question. How can we help?
It depends. You know, the thing is, we need people with certain skills. And in a sense, we are quite a small group. What we always need is people with strange languages because of the help desk. So, you know, we start a Japanese help desk soon and a Swahili website. But also, I mean, people that can help understand better, like, okay, so one of the things, for example, Yeah, so I don't know, you have to come and you have to tell me what are your skills and then I can think about it and we can work together. What is the way that we can do things together? Yeah. Yeah.
So, how can I contact you?
Through my email, and I think it was in the beginning, but if you just put my last name, Comports, in front of any of those two, you will get me. Yeah. So I need to tell one story about the drone campaign because this is one of the things that I think is also interesting. So the DJI, they said on their website that they're going to implement the no-fly zones over the borders. And so we were really scared that they already did that because we didn't know. And so when we were crossing the Dutch-German border, that was the first thing we did on the border to see if the drone would fly. So I think these things we need to continue testing. So people that know kind of how to, the guy that I work with, he knew more or less, he said, well, you just deconnect the GPS, but there's other ways to do it as well. So people that have these kind of skills, it's always interesting. Yeah.
Next one, please.
Hi, I have a friend in Canada who's a librarian, and she just tested both your URLs, and they were blocked in the public library. My guess is that they used like pre-made filter, and the reason for blocking was the abortion category. Do you see this often, and how should they approach it?
The blocking of the what you have to say it again. So her website was blocked.
I was saying both your URLs were blocked by the public library proxies.
Yeah.
So, and the reason was abortion, and Canada is legal abortion. So I'm just wondering, do you see this often, or?
Well, actually, no. Usually they don't block abortion URLs. I haven't heard of that. That governments block websites that are about abortion.
Oh,
so that will be interesting to know which website that is, and to see what might be the reason.
Yeah, they are currently asking that for the administration to unblock them, and we'll keep you posted.
Oh, is that Nuremberg files? You mean that?
No, both your URLs are blocked.
Oh, no, there was just one in Iran. That's the only one that we could find. There was one of the websites that was blocked in Iran. Yeah, sorry, yeah.
Next, please.
Hi, I work with the TOR project, and not only we provide tools for anonymity online, which might be crucial to some women in this context, but also we provide tools to evade censorship.
Wait, I need to see who says. Hi.
We do all these things, and that could be very beneficial to this project, I believe. And can we help?
Yeah.
Cool, let's talk.
Good. You're working with Tor, you said, or what?
Yes.
Okay, great. Yeah. So. Yeah, we like, for example, our help desk people that live in countries where abortion is illegal, they use Tor, always, so that they cannot be traced back that they are helping from a country where it's illegal.
Cool.
Actually, I should use Tor as well, but I don't. But yeah.
Are there any more questions, please? Go. You have a chance to ask her.
Yes.
Hey. What about native or traditional methods get abortion, like vitamin C overdose or morim seeds? I don't know the English word for morim.
So you're asking about euthanasia, you said? Can you repeat what you asked?
Did you inform, or do you know about traditional methods for abortion?
Do I know about? Oh, okay, traditional methods. Okay. So there's a lot of traditional methods that women use, but none have been proven to be effective and safe. And that is the problem. But there's a lot of methods out there that people try, but there's nothing that has been proven to be effective and safe. Yeah.
Hi, I'm a big fan of Women on Waves, and so I'd like to thank you again for all your work and effort. And I found your action really direct and had a big impact on those women who are actually suffering. I gave them choices. I just had one thought. In addition to giving them the pills, perhaps the education can be extended to the other sexes and to their family and friends, because a lot of time it's about if they are living in a supportive environment or not. And so I'm very happy to see that there are a lot of people from different backgrounds and different biological sexes and genders over here, and then to be able to provide this kind of supportive environment.
Yeah.
So I would suggest to extend the network and then to be more educationally focused, and then to educate people from different backgrounds. And so not,
yeah. Thank you. Yeah, that's very true. It's very important. So one of the things, for example, that we did in Kenya is that we trained community leaders and health workers, community health workers, and they went in their community and they talked about it with women, and then the women talked about other people, so that the information was kind of spreading word by word, because it's a really important way to disseminate this kind of information. Also, what we find a lot is that it's often the boyfriends that are contacting us, that are helping. And especially, for example, a lot of Middle Eastern countries, it's often the men that are, because the women don't have that easy access to the internet.
Great.
So there's a lot, yeah, yeah. Thank you for your question.
I live in the US, I live in Texas.
Yeah.
abortion is legal in the US, but in Texas, the politicians have discovered that they can just restrict where you can have them. So there's 5 places in the whole of Texas, which is a giant state.
Yeah.
So we actually have an organization called the Lilith Project.
Yeah.
That helps women who are in, sorry, a hard topic.
It's okay.
It helps. Yeah. Yeah. It helps women relocate to one of the surgical centers they're allowed to get an abortion. So
what, actually, I'm really interested in what you're saying, because we are getting a lot of emails from women from Texas as well. And the situation there is really, really, really difficult. I don't know what kind of information you give, but it would be nice for me to know. I know that we have been working with groups in Texas because women can travel to Mexico to buy the misoprostol in Mexico. And it's not, for some women it's too far, but for a lot of women it's pretty available. And that works for some women. But of course, for many, 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 it does not work. It's an impossible journey to make. It's a very, very tragic situation there. Yeah. Do you have a fund as well? What did you say? Is it the Lilith Fund?
Yeah, the Lilith Project.
Yeah. So you give financial support also to women to be able to travel to other places.
Yeah. And I guess, you know, some of the information about how much of the drug you're allowed to take if you want to go to Mexico to get the drug, that's being restricted. They're saying it's illegal to give that out. So they're forcing women to go to these surgical centers to get their abortions.
Yeah. Well, what is interesting, I mean, it's easier to get an abortion in Tanzania and in Kenya than it is in Texas at this moment. And in Texas it's legal, and in Kenya it's illegal. So that is the reality now. Yeah. Any other people?
Hi. So if I understand correctly, you mentioned that you might have problems with drones crossing international borders. And so in fact, some of them are programmed to not reach public buildings, or especially military buildings in international borders. And that's because we cannot control those drones. So an alternative would be using the Flown. Flown is a fully free software-based drone, which it's a do-it-yourself drone, so we can manufacture it and we can control all the software running it, so you won't run into this kind of problems.
Okay, so it is not yet the case. They did not yet make no-fly zones over the borders, but I think it will happen soon. And then, how can I find you?
Okay, it's not my project, but I was participating in a workshop with the creator of this project. So it's Flown. F-L-O-N-E.
Okay. F-L-O-N-E. Flown. Okay. I will write it down in a moment. Okay. Thanks. Thank you. Yeah. So.
So I wanted to ask, Women on Waves to Women on Web seems like a fairly organic kind of transition when you describe it the way that you have. What can you imagine facing challenges, apart from you've talked about paywall systems, what can you imagine the next 5 years that you might be challenges for you, or how can you imagine it developing? I'm kind of interested in your future outlook as well.
I think that one of the biggest challenges that we'll face is what I said is that the restrictions of getting access to the medicines locally, which is, has happened in some countries, but it doesn't happen everywhere, that it's, you can only get it in special hospitals and you cannot get it anymore in pharmacies. The mail from Women on Web, like Brazil, we can't get any, I don't know how they do it. It would be super nice to know how they do it. Every single package is stopped. So Brazil, we get a lot of requests. It's really an awful situation. There's no local available medicines, people, but we can't, the mail is being stopped. They just stop it. And the same in Ireland. And I don't know how they do it. You know, nothing functions in that country, but the mail, you know, the customs do. So, and I don't know if anybody has any ideas about how you could overcome that. You're welcome to share it, but I have no idea.
We need some 3D printing chemistry going on.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Hi. So back in
so
the
one,
day.
So you, can I say one more thing? So one of the things that we thought might work is if you package the pill in aluminium foil or in lead, because if it's done with radio scanning, then it wouldn't be able to detect that it is actually pills. But then I read somewhere that it doesn't work, so we never tried it. Sorry, somebody else. Yeah.
I don't know how you package your pills at the minute, but there's quite a few blog posts on certain dark web forums like the Silk Road that talk about how to avoid customs. So that's a very good resource if you look into it.
But is it customs when you cross the customs or mail? How you can avoid customs by mail?
At least in Ireland, I know that it does go through customs. One good way of getting parcels into Ireland is by using
parcel motel.
Remailers, parcel motel.
Yeah, it doesn't work. We tried it. Sorry. Okay. Yeah, it stopped as well. But if you have any other ideas? But they, now they go to Northern Ireland. That works as well.
Well, all I can suggest is checking out the blog post or forum posts on the Silk Road.
Can you come and give it to me? What is
I'll
the blog
send you
post?
An email.
Thank you. Thank you. Very, very welcome. Thanks. Thanks. Really do it, please. Please send me that email. It's really very important for us to know.
Are there any more questions? Please. We have time. Go, please, to the microphone.
I'm from Brazil. Hi.
Hi.
One question, is it legal for a person to transport this medicine?
Not when it's, so the law says that you're allowed to carry for 3 months worth of your own medication in any country. What is 3 months of abortion pills? I don't know. Whether it's one package, two, three, four, five, how often can you get pregnant in 3 months? So that is what the regulations say. So people can take it with them. You know, that is absolutely possible.
Well, we can do a kind of network of friends.
Yeah.
Taking some country and travel to Brazil and deliver there.
Yeah, that is true. If we can make a big, big network of people that they're traveling and they can take the medicines with them, then it's possible. Yeah. So there would be something to do a crowd mobilization thing on. Yeah? How would you do that? Do you have any experience? Okay. Good.
No, we can talk later. I can send out an email and start chatting about it.
Okay. Yeah. It would be interesting.
Please. First on this microphone, then it's you.
Oh, hi. I'm wondering if you've been personally targeted because of your work in this field and how you've managed to overcome that. Continue to fight, continue to work in hostile environments for the work you do?
Well, as you can see, most of our campaigns are actually quite a lot of fun, even though it's stressful, but it is somehow hopeful. It's not just really kind of fighting the mud, because we just do things that give joy as well. And I think that has been always very important. And I think for me, and actually for everybody working on the help desk, it's all the emails that we get every day of women that are in need, and that we can actually help most of them. Not all of them, but 95% of the women we can help. And I think that is very motivating, and that is very empowering for everybody. And I think that we are very lucky in that sense, that we are able to actually do something.
Absolutely. Yeah. Thank you.
So, second round.
It almost sounds too easy, physically, obviously not psychologically, to take a handful of pills. For those people who are in countries where you can get an abortion, is it still better to go to a surgical facility? Is there any way to decide between the pills and a physical intervention?
Okay, so I think it's really two different methods. So it's very different for women. You cannot underestimate the fear that women have because they're scared. They're doing it in a circumstance where there's very little support, where there's a big taboo, and where they are doing something that is breaking the law. A woman in Ireland can go to jail for 14 years for doing that. And so I think the word easy does not apply here at all. If it ever applies. No, but if it ever applies to a decision like that, I do think, though, that it is a simple way.
Yeah, sorry, I didn't mean to imply that it was easy at all psychologically. Yeah. I meant that there are surgical facilities where, obviously, it's a much more involved process.
Yeah.
I was thinking, how would you decide to go for the medicine or the physical?
Well, I mean, actually, when women are counseled properly, most women choose to have a medical abortion. In most countries, like in France, in Sweden, in other places where access to the service is equal, 80% of the women chooses to have a medical abortion. Women choose to have a surgical abortion because they want to be, it's a process, it's a longer process, a medical abortion. And they want to just, you know, they trust the doctor better, or they just want to have So I think it's a very different choice for different people that have different needs. And I think the only one that can make that is the woman that needs it. Yeah.
Please.
Hi. I come up with a support question again. So all the digital stuff, the website and the apps that you showed for Android and so on, is that open source? So if I'm a programmer, and so my skills are programming, and when I want to help, is that possible?
Yeah, it's we hire people to do it, but they use all open source. And it's also using Creative Commons. So everybody can use whatever they want, change it, use it, whatever they want. And it's an open source programming people that are using it, yeah.
And it's called, online somewhere.
The organization that is doing our website is called, I forgot. Sorry, Mark. Mark Vorel is his name, sorry, I should know. Sotonic, they're called Sotonic. And they use all the open source, yeah.
Okay, yeah. Thank you.
Yeah, thanks. Thanks, so please, if you have anything to improve or better, that would be wonderful, yeah. So is that it? No more questions. Thank you so much.
No.
Okay. No.
You're not finished yet.
Okay.
No.
Please.
Yes. Hello. No. So thank you for your work, firstly.
Thank you.
And we were wondering if you have any kind of recommendations in your channels, like website, whatever, for secure and private communication, like for women to communicate with you, if you have like a GPG key or something like that.
So the way the system works, the website is connected with the back office, and the back office is totally secured, and all the information is stored encrypted. And the emails are sent through the website to the how the website and they enter this back office system. So the back office system is a totally secured environment. And the people that are doing it, what I understood from them is that they have a very, they have put some people on it to try to hack it, and they didn't, we're not able to do it, but I don't invite you to do that, thank you. Because people here are probably a bit better. but perhaps you should and tell me where there's the problem. Okay, guys, try to hack the back office. Just don't publish the information that it's in it. I think we work with really secure and encrypted information. But we have people that do that. I don't do that.
I was wondering, since you operate from the Netherlands, how the developments in law in the Netherlands are. Mm-hmm. And if you are afraid they will change and you will not be able to continue your work.
Okay, so we have actually Women on Waves is working from the Netherlands, but Women on Web is based in Canada. And the doctors that are working for Women on Web are based in a variety of countries. So the way it was set up is to make sure that every part of the service was legal where it was being done. And so there's quite a lot of jurisdictions involved. With Women on Waves, the web in the law in the Netherlands is actually that abortion is also still in the criminal code. And that it's only allowed to do it when you're doing it in a special clinic with a license. But the exception is for very early abortions, and that is what the SHIP does, still 6.5 weeks of pregnancy. So it's very narrow time frame. Now, the problem we have now in the Netherlands is that this new Minister of Health says that actually it's still also criminal to do that. Although we won all the fucking court cases, sorry. I mean, one minister says, well, actually it's still illegal, and you know, everybody just follows it, so it's very frustrating. That's a very frustrating part. So we can always continue our work from the ship as long as the law in the Netherlands doesn't change, because we have the jurisprudence there. With Women on Web, we have also had our legal challenges, and we won the court cases, so that is secure as well. And I don't think that, I mean, in Canada there is no abortion law, so I don't think that that is going to change. So the server, like the referral service is based there. The doctors are based somewhere else, and then the medicines are shipped from somewhere else again. And then the only part where actually it is illegal is the moment the women take the pills, because the women are also allowed to import it for their own use in most countries, except for Ireland and Brazil. Yeah.
Hi. I have a question again, circumventing this male block. Did you try sending the pills from different sources? Like, instead of...
Okay. We did. And it goes well for 3 weeks, and then it's blocked again. So, okay. Yeah, we did.
So the control is very good.
But, I'm sorry?
So the control is very good.
Yeah. Yeah, and I think actually they might actually really track down what we're doing. But I don't know. It's really hard to find out how these systems work, the customs systems and the... Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah, thanks.
Wow. If there are no more questions...
I have one question.
Yes, please.
I have to go to the train station in Grancey this evening, and if there's somebody that drives there, I would like to have a ride.
So many cars with so many people. so many people with so many cars.
Because I don't think there's a bus anymore. Okay.
So if someone wants to drive her, please talk to her.
Yeah.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
It was very informative. Thank you for your questions.
Thank you.
Thank you.